Radio.com Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Hello and welcome everybody into the latest installment of Big Time Baseball. An unfamiliar voice here, usually behind the scenes. My name is Dylan Burns, but join with me, as always, some familiar names and faces and voices. John Heyman and Tony Gwynn Jr. are alongside me. And fellas, we are just hours away from opening day, another baseball season. One last year, we're coming off of just complete uncertainty and unprecedentedness. The Los Angeles Dodgers ultimately took home the World Series. And Dave Roberts, we spoke to in the offseason, all that good stuff. Just like all good things, you want more of it. And we got more of it coming up here. We're hitting the reset button again, opening day. I asked you guys this separately, and I had me thinking, what is it with the hype surrounding opening day? Why does baseball do it better than any other league?
Yeah, I think it's a tradition. Baseball has traditions. And naming it opening day and not just the start of the season, that's the first part of the tradition. And, you know, there are certain things that baseball does better. You know, baseball gets a lot of criticism, but baseball certainly does the All-Star game better than the other sports. They definitely do the trade deadline better. Maybe because that I'm involved in it, but that's a big deal, and that's better. And opening day, and I love the way they do closing day, too, now with all the games starting at the same time. But opening day, they're spreading them out, starting at 1 o'clock and ending here on the East Coast, 10 o'clock starts. And it's just fantastic. We are looking forward to it. And as you called it, a reset, restart, whatever you want to say. And I mean, this is our first regular season in 2 years. Last year, a lot of people will look on it as a season that doesn't count. But the weird thing that occurred is that the best team won. You know, we got all through that with the extra playoff teams. And, you know, somebody who didn't win may say, you know, it's not a real season or it's only 60 games. And, wasn't a typical postseason, but the reality of it is the best team in the American League was in the World Series and the Rays. The best team in the National League was in the World Series and the Dodgers, and the best team won, the Dodgers. They finally won after 30-plus years, and you know, now we have a regular season, which I think baseball people appreciate. They love the length of the season. They love the fact it's a marathon, not a sprint. Sorry about the cliche, but we start right with opening day, and I think we all love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tony, you've been a part of a number of them, you know, just from the dugout. As a player, Tony, is the hype real? I mean, tell us, like, what's it like being out on the field for opening day?
Hype is definitely real. And if you're lucky, one of my last couple years playing, I think I was a part of like four opening days. We had caught like different teams and their first home opener. So, I got to do that like three or four different times, but I think it's exactly what John said, right? I think it's the tradition, and in some ways, tradition can hurt baseball, and in some ways, in this particular case, opening day tradition, I think elevates the game higher than all the rest of them. They just do it right. I mean everything from guys taking the line, starting lineups being announced, like. It is. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Like, it is one of the more special moments to be a part of, whether you're starting or you're off the bench. Your name gets called and you take that line for that team on opening, for your team, particular team on opening day. It is just special. There's just nothing like it. And I've been fortunate. Like, not only have I been able to, you know, be a part of it through my dad's career, I was also able to be a part of it through my own career. And there's just nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. And I think John hit on a couple of things, right? The baseball does, I think, the best opening and the best closing of all of the sports. And hopefully this year it'll be no different.
Just the fact that we're going to get a little bit of normalcy back this season, I think a lot of fans and players are excited about. So let's spin it forward to this season, fellas. Is there anything specifically that you're looking forward to the most, whether it's seeing a player for a full season or a team for a full season? What is standing out to you guys the most? What are you most excited about?
You know, what I'm excited about is all the great young stars in baseball, the guys 25 and under. I mean, obviously, we still have Mike Trout, the best player in the game. And until someone takes that mantle, though, he will be the best player in the game for me. Obviously, Mookie Betts is awfully special, too. And I think it's fair to say he's the second best player. But we've got some very exciting under 25 players. And we had that previously. I mean, obviously with all the young stars coming up, the Arenados and the Machados, but right now, I mean, Juan Soto, I mean, in the box, he was the best hitter in baseball by quite a bit last year. Didn't win the MVP. He had kind of that false positive. We believe it was false at the beginning of the year. Missed some time. Obviously, the Nats, bit of a letdown off their World Series win of 2019. So, team wasn't so great. But Juan Soto, I mean, he looks like an all-time great already in his early 20s. And we have Acuna, Ronald Acuna Jr. with the Braves. Just a fantastic all-around player, 40-40 threat, incredible, and on a really good team and a threat to win. I mean, I think we all think the Dodgers are the best team, but there's some other special teams in the National League, the Braves included. And, of course, the guy that Tony gets to see, Fernando Tatis Jr., just an incredible, incredible all-around talent. Got that $340 million deal, one of the biggest deals in baseball history off of really – two partial seasons, didn't play a full season due to injury. His first year, came back last year, and obviously was a 60-game season. So, yeah, he really hasn't even played a full season and got a $340 million deal. And I don't think any of us in baseball question that deal because this is a special, special talent. So I love the under-25 talents in baseball right now.
There's a lot of different storylines that are kind of percolating for the 2021 season. I mean, you got the obvious ones. You mentioned the 25 and under group. You got the Padres and their huge offseason. Can La Russa, you know, manage at his age with such a young group? We know he can manage, but will he mesh well with this young group? But, you know, one of the things I'm looking at, especially considering what kind of the antics that have been going on during spring, is I'm really interested in how Bauer is going to fit in and settle in with this Dodger ball club. I know you guys have been paying attention. He's been pitching basically with one eye all spring training. And you know, it's funny on the surface, and I am a believer that guys like Bauer are great for the game of baseball, but you have to start to wonder with a team that has very carefully picked guys in who come into their clubhouse, how this will mesh over not 60 games, over 162 games. Guys have to, and they may get a break, right? Because media is still not let into the locker room. So there is a controlled element to having to answer questions after games. So they may get a little pass on that, but there is so much to like about this 2021 season. You mentioned all the young guys that are coming up. I mean, whether it's Acuna, whether it's Tatis Jr., I love Juan Soto. I mean, like this guy is one of my favorites to watch put together an at-bat. And it could be anything from takes to the actual hit. I enjoy every pitch as I watch him dissect an at-bat and dissect the pitcher. But it certainly is going to be a wild season this year. I think the NL East is wide open. I think the Central is going to be a lot tougher after getting a chance to see the Brewers play over spring. I think they got a shot to win that division. I think this is going to turn out to be a really exciting season.
Something you both something you just mentioned there, Tony, and you both can offer some pretty good perspective on it just from having a relationship with Dave Roberts. And I don't want to make this the Bauer Hour or anything like that, but just a question popped into my head. All the antics, like you mentioned, pitching with one eye open already here in the preseason, you know, doing the McGregor walk, tipping his pitches and stuff like that. It's all good until they start losing, right? Like as a teammate, how do you react to that? And I guess as a coach too, and knowing Dave Roberts personally, can you maybe provide some insight on how you think he might handle this?
I am really going to be watching that with a super watchful eye because Dave is as accommodating to players as there is, but when the time comes, he also is one that will say what needs to be said. And, you know, you look at the antics and it's all good, right? Because it's spring training, games don't count, and, you know, not a lot of people paying attention. But you're right, especially in Los Angeles, right? He's already kind of going into that city where it seems like, and I don't know, it just seems like based off of Twitter, that there's a little hesitancy to jump in on Bauer as a Dodger fan, right? But you certainly know that when the losing happens, and this isn't just, you know, for LA, this is all teams. When losing happens, you know, there's a lot less that's accepted, you know, and this is a team that has been dominant for seven straight years in the National League West. And now they have a formidable challenger in the San Diego Padres. And any time wasted on anything other than winning baseballs could be winning baseball games could be detrimental to them winning a division. So I'm like I said, this is going to be one that we're all watching. And over 60 games, it's a different story, right? It's a sprint. You don't have to endure it for that long. I mean, virtually 2 months. But in 162, that's a lot longer of a deal, right? And it's so much more can happen in that time frame. But certainly, again, as a ball club that's been very careful about who they bring in, whether they're stars or not, they are concerned about how their locker room is made up and the type of guys they have in that organization. It'll be interesting to see how this all works out, because you would imagine if they start losing and the antics are still going, you could see a scenario in which guys would be a little irritated with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for him to irritate people. There's no question about it. He's done it to me. You know, he's an irritant. Yeah, I mean, he's an irritant. There's no question. I don't think it's going to be a problem. And here's why. Tony touched on a few of those things, but there's three or four reasons why I don't think it's an issue. One is, you know, there's going to be headlines. There's going to be storylines. The media is not allowed in there now, so there might be fewer of them. But he's able to create them on his own. Somehow he's able to do it. We know about the one eye and all that other stuff that he did this spring training without being in the clubhouse. But the fact there's no media, that's one reason I think it's not going to be a problem. Dave Roberts, fantastic manager, particularly with personalities. And this is a big personality. Whatever you think of him, love him or hate him, he's a big personality. He's a tough personality. Dave Roberts is going to be perfect for doing his best there to kind of quell that. This is also a terrific nucleus. I mean, they've got professionals on this team, you know, Kershaw on down. So I don't think one guy is going to be able to upset the apple cart. I really don't. And you said it, Dylan, you mentioned in the question about the losing, you know, that's when things start to go south. This team is not going to have a long losing streak. Looking at that rotation, I mean, it's amazing. I think they're starting. They picked May to start, but that means Gonsolin and David Price, who's a Cy Young winner, does not start the season in the rotation. You know, I mean, they're not going to have a long losing streak. There's always going to be some downturn during 162 games. I think there's one team that I've covered, which was the 98 Yankees. 114 games, 125 total, that had no downturns. And, you know, maybe the Dodgers are that good. I don't know. But, you know, they're not a team that's going to have long losing streaks or even streaks of losing. And I just don't see this as a likely problem. It'll create some headlines, but he's not going to disturb the team enough to affect their performance.
Listen, John is right about that for sure. Listen, Andrew Friedman is a very smart guy. He knows that they have the type of guys that can absorb that in that locker room. There's a reason why you do take I think for the Dodgers, somewhat of a risk, right? I mean, yes, you're bringing in Cy Young, but you could take that kind of risk because you know the type of guys you have in that locker room. So John's ultimately probably right. Like these guys will figure it out. They'll manage it. And they're going to be good. And listen, I think it's not out of the question that they are on the lines of that Yankee team, right? I mean, we've talked about it in the booth doing these Padre games. Like the Padres could, in a best case scenario, could win 100 games and still finish second in the National League West. Like that's how good the Dodgers are this year. So
yeah, I don't think there's any question, Tony. If they win 100 games, they're not winning that division. You know, unless something happens to the Dodgers that's unforeseen in terms of injuries, they're going to go over that 100. I mean, do they get to the 114? I mean, I kind of doubt that, but you know, I would say 102 is probably par for the course for that team. At least in my mind, I haven't looked at the bookie lines, and maybe it's lower, but. Not for me. If I bet, their line is anything under 100, I take the over.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And like you said, John, I mean, you got a Cy Young winner in David Price. It's not even going to make the opening day rotation. It's just an embarrassment of riches over there for the Dodgers right now. And I think win or lose, the headlines, they're going to dominate the headlines for the majority of the season, which has me thinking here, guys, and poses the question, what teams aren't we talking about enough that maybe made moves this offseason or have just been consistently good and don't dominate the headlines because the Dodgers, Padres, and Mets and Yankees have pretty much, you know, stolen everybody's thunder? I mean, I'm thinking about a team like Atlanta who's just ready to win now, but it feels like nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, let me take this one first. There's two teams that I saw in spring that were very impressive. I mentioned one in the Brewers. I mean, that bullpen, at the back part of that bullpen with Williams and Hader and Boxberg, they got a chance to be really good at the back end of that bullpen. And I'm not one of these people that buy Yelich's year last year at all. Like, 60 games is not enough. That's a guy that if you gave him the full season, he would have ended up right around where he normally is. I truly believe that. I like the addition of Wong. They look good during spring. And you know who else look good? They're in the Central, but they're in the American League. That's the Royals. We saw them a couple different times. I'll tell you what, I don't know if they're going to pitch, but they certainly are going to hit. They got some guys in that lineup. And when you look at the lineup, especially at the top with Benintendi, these guys get on base. And it seems like Soler is coming to his own as a big power guy. I like that Royals team. Now, I don't know if they'll pitch, and I don't know if they're going to be good enough to compete on the level that the White Sox and the Twins will be. But that's a team that I think it will catch some people by surprise this year. Those are my two teams that I saw during spring training that I walked away feeling like, wow, this team is much better than I anticipated going into the year.
Tony, we're on the same page again. I remember we did the best winters and the worst winters, and we agreed on all 10, I believe.
yeah, we did.
You had three teams written down, and you hit two of them. The Brewers and the Royals are two of my teams, and it's actually going to be three teams from the Cactus League. I didn't see any of them because we're still sort of in a pandemic here, and I didn't go out to Arizona for the second time in a row after being out there 20 straight years. But I agree with you on the Royals. They're heading the right direction. You know, and Benintendi and Santana, they're going to hit better. I love the fact that they're spending, you know, a small market team.
Yeah.
You know, they're not cutting every corner. And I like their young pitching. Singer, I think, is going to be a star, and they've got more guys coming. You're right on the Brewers. You know, we are overlooking them because they were under 500 last year after making the playoffs the previous couple seasons. I mean, Yelich did not have his season. You know, the guy is one of the best four or five hitters in the game. You know, Hayura did not do what we expect him to do. He's going to be much better. They added defense, which is going to help them a lot. Wong on the infield and Jackie Bradley on the outfield. They get Lorenzo Cain back now after he opted out for most of last
year. Totally forgot about Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, that defense is awfully good, and you're right about that back end. My God, I mean, with Hader and Williams, I mean, Boxberger looked good too. But Hader, Williams, that's a strong, strong back end. And they have two really, really, really good starters in Burns and Woodruff. You know, there are a lot of teams that have one really good starter, but you got two, you've got something. And plus the fact that, let's face it, most of that division went kind of backwards. So,
to me,
Milwaukee is probably the favorite in that division. The other one, I'm probably going to go off the board here, and no one's going to be talking about them, but they surprise almost every year. And I understand that they lost Semien. They weren't going to be able to pay him. And they lost Hendricks. They weren't going to be able to pay him. Rosenthal can come close to duplicating Hendricks. Elvis Andrus has looked good in spring. He's not going to be Semien. I get that. They do get Chapman back now after the hip thing knocked him out. So I love their catcher, Murphy. He's great talent. The A's seem to win 90 games in the majority of seasons, and nobody ever expects them to do anything, and particularly not this year. But, I mean, those would be my three teams. I know you mentioned the Braves. I mean, to me, I still put the Braves in the upper echelon, and maybe because they're in the East, I think about them a lot.
Yeah.
They're not in that category for me, but I could see them as underrated. I mean, let's not forget that Ian Anderson was such a terrific pitcher in the postseason. They didn't have Soroka, they really pressed the Dodgers, almost beat the Dodgers without Soroka. And, you know, obviously Fried has stepped forward as a star. And, you know, they can hit. Like I mean, they may be the best hitting team in the league. I know the Dodgers and Mets are obviously great hitting teams too. But, you know, they got Roberto Acuna back and, you know, they can really rake. So, I mean, to me, they're a favorite anyway. But as the dark horse candidates, I'm with Tony. KC, Milwaukee, those are my top two. And I'll throw Oakland in the mix as well.
How about any teams who had success last year, whether or not it was sneaking into an extra playoff spot or just shocking people overall? Like, I know the Marlins came on and nobody expected them to make the playoffs, let alone win a series. And we had Don Mattingly on last year, and after he hung up with us, I was talking to you guys, and it was right around the beginning of the season. Good things. And I asked you guys, I was like, are you buying what he's selling? Because right now I feel like I want to run through a wall for Don Mattingly. Does he always sound like this? And the Marlins obviously ended up having a fantastic season. So maybe not specifically the Marlins, but a team like that. Is there anybody who you can expect to maybe take a step back that maybe exceeded their own expectations and they will see some regression this season?
I think the Marlins could be one just because that division got better, right? I think they, and you got a full 162 that you got to navigate this year. I think they could take a step back, but it won't be like a bad step back. It's almost like the division got a lot better. They're still on the same course that they're on in terms of building up. And you know, they probably ended up in the playoffs 2 years too early, maybe a year too early. So I think they'll still be progressing in the right direction, but because that division got better, I think they take a step back. And I think the Astros are another team that'll take a step back. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to continue to sustain the type of success they have. And I mean, really, they got in the playoffs last year below 500. So or right at 500, I should say. So that's another team that we're used to seeing have success that I think takes a significant step back. Although that division got weaker. It's kind of the opposite of what we see in the National League East. I'm not sure that the Astros can continue their reign at the top of that division. I think the Angels might be a team that finally gets together and makes a push to maybe get into the playoffs this year. And finally, we can start seeing the best player in the game under the big lights again.
Yeah, you know, I've got three teams that could go in the wrong direction. Just like I had three that could go in the right direction. Again, Tony and I agreed. Astros are a potential team. They could go either way. I mean, obviously, they could still have Correa and Bregman and Greinke, and some of the young starters look very good in the postseason, though the injury to Framber or Valdez does not help. It's probably not as bad as we first thought, but it doesn't help. The loss of Springer, obviously, is a big one for the Astros, so I could see potentially they could go down. Same with the Indians. Obviously, they lost Lindor. From what I hear, Frank Kona loves Jimenez. And, you know, they piece it together somehow. I mean, look at all the pitching they've lost over the last few years. They still have Bieber, who certainly an ace, a young favorite. I didn't say I'm picking him. We'll find out all about that later. But a candidate. But, I mean, they've lost Bauer and they've lost Clevinger. And, I mean, four, five, six guys that they've lost who are really, really good starters. And they managed to piece it together. So it's a little dangerous to say potentially they could go backward, but I could see. Then the other team that I, of course, is a team I'm rarely a believer in, so don't take my word as gospel on this one, but I mean, I don't see how the Rays keep doing it. They lost Snell, they lose Morton. You know, how do they do it? I don't know. I mean, I know Snell and Morton were only five inning pitchers for them, and they figured it out, and they had this very long bullpen, and you know, Arozarena became Babe Ruth at some point there along the way, and they were the best team in the league last year. But starting with that starting point of the best team, I expect them to take somewhat of a step back, I would think. I mean, but again, don't take my word for it on the Rays. I'm consistently wrong on them.
So we got the teams down, right? We know who we think now can maybe step up or maybe take a step back and kind of even out back to their true selves. Now, just kind of going into a micro level here, are there any players that you two are most excited about to watch this season, whether or not it's a bounce back year from a bad year or coming back from injury or maybe even just somebody who's primed to have a breakout season and really make a name for themselves in the bigs. John, we'll start with you. Who do you really, you know, who are you most anticipating on having, you know, a big coming out year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bounce back seasons are interesting. I mean, so many great hitters hit not less than 250, less than 220 in many cases. I mean, Chris Bryant was a rookie of the year, an MVP, looked like a certain Hall of Famer. And, you know, he was a guy that really in trade, there was nobody stepped up. You know, everybody wanted Arenado. And, you know, he had the big contract. Bryant was there for the taking. He makes about $20 million this year. And nobody really wanted him, at least not the price they were asking. And I'm anxious to see about the bounce back of Bryant and Baez and Yelich and J.D. Martinez and all these guys who really struggled last year. I think they'll be back. I think they'll be having their normal seasons. But Bryant's career trajectory is a little worrisome at this point. But all those guys that had rough seasons. But to me, the biggest guy that I think the big comeback candidate for me is Trey Mancini. I mean, to be diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, missed a year. Now he's back with the Orioles. There isn't a lot to watch with the Orioles, but he's certainly someone that everybody should keep an eye on. It's really a great comeback story just to get back on the field and play. But he is a terrific hitter. He is their best player. And I'm not going to say he's going to lead the Orioles to a title, but whatever he does, I think we'll have our eyes on him.
Yeah, I'm watching a couple of different guys. Well, I'm going to start here in San Diego first. Tommy Pham is first on my list. He's coming off of an injury-plagued year. He got off to an 0-for-17 start in spring as he was figuring out his contact situation. Then he proceeded to go, I think, something like 11-for-20 in his next 20 bats and is really swinging a bat. Well, remember, the Padres brought him in 2020 to be kind of set the kind of mentality that they wanted to have as an offense, which is they want to grind it bats out. And I think with a healthy year, you add him to an offense that was really potent last year, he could be a guy who has a huge season for the Padres. I think another guy I'm looking at, and this one is a sleeper, is Ty France. I've known Ty play for my father at San Diego State. He's hit at every level he's been at. When he got traded over to Seattle, he got a chance to play every day, and we saw him break. And I know it was only 60 games, but he's going to get a chance to play every day. Watch out for his name. And then the other guy who I kind of took a liking to in the playoff series against the Padres is Dylan Carlson. I like this guy. I like the way he swings the bat. I think he's got a chance to have a breakout season. And listen, the Cardinals are going to need some guys like him to step forward in order to kind of to take that division. It can't just be Arenado and Goldschmidt. They're going to have a supporting cast. Dylan Carlson can be that guy. Those are three guys I'm looking at.
Everybody here listening, you know, is obviously now going to go Google these names and hit up Baseball Reference and whatnot and try to get an edge in their fantasy drafts. So this is good stuff, even for me, guys. And I always appreciate the perspective. So now it's time to turn it forward, right? Here's why they pay us. Well, I shouldn't speak for myself here. This is why they pay you guys the big bucks, right? It's why they pay you the big bucks. It's prediction time. It's pretty much impossible to nail every single category, but I got to be honest. I think looking back at the track record, you guys have done pretty outstanding. When I've fed you these, you know, categories to fill out, and you guys are probably hitting at like a 60, 70, 80% clip. So let's just roll right into it. The 2021 way too early prediction portion of the show, and we're going to start with the pitchers. We're going to go AL and NL Cy Young Award. Who do you guys got? John, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I want to be right here. So I'm not going to go off the board. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going for a dark horse. And I guess you could look at Bieber, certainly. But AL, I got to go with Gerrit Cole. I think he's the best pitcher in that league. And so that's my pick.
I'm going Lucas Giolito. White Sox. I think he's poised to have a terrific season. I mean, he's talking a big game, so I expect big things from him this year.
Well, that's an easy one. I mean, why even do it, right? Isn't DeGrom the Cy Young winner even before we start? I mean, I've got to pick him. He's the best pitcher in the game. I didn't give that one too much thought, I have to be honest.
You know what? I think there is a such thing as voter fatigue, and I know he didn't win last year, but he did win, what, three previous seasons, two previous seasons? I can't remember at this point. He's won his fair share. I like Walker Buehler. I do. I think this is the year he puts it together. I know he got off to a slow start last year, was a little banged up again this season, never really got into his rhythm. I think this year is going to be different. I think this is the year he puts it all together. I'm going to say Walker Buehler.
We're going to spin it over to the MVP award, fellas. Who do you got for your AL and NL MVP? Tony, let's hear it.
My AL and NL MVP, I'll start in the AL. I got Anthony Rendon. I think, I'm kind of high on the Angels after seeing their lineup put together a couple times during the spring. I like Anthony Rendon. He's in year number two. I got a chance to see how comfortable Manny Machado was in year number two and the type of season he put together. I think Anthony Rendon could follow suit there. And then National League, John mentioned his name earlier, but I think Juan Soto, man. I think this guy is a reincarnation of Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn put together. This guy is legit. And it is so fun, you know, as a hitting nerd, it is fun to watch him put together an at-bat and not only physically dominate, but mentally dominate pitchers when he gets in the box. I think Juan Soto is going to put together a big year, and it's going to be really hard for the Nationals to not try to re-sign him as soon as possible, because the price tag could just keep going up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later on the Insider segment. I love your Rendon pick. I like the way you're thinking there. I'm going chalk. I don't want to lose. People clip and save these things, and then they get back to me on Twitter. So I want to have as high a percentage
yeah,
as possible. So I'm going Trout and Soto. I think those are the favorites, but too bad. That's it.
We're going to stick with the individual awards here. Anybody you guys see making an impact as a rookie this season?
There's a boatload of young guns, and we actually saw quite a bit of them in the playoffs. And these two guys, really, one of them in particular, made a name for himself in the playoffs, and that's Randy Arozarena. I mean, he's still eligible to be a rookie. So I think he's going to fall into that category in the American League. We're going to get a chance to see him at a full season clip, see how he manages that. But he certainly has the head start on a lot of guys. I think the other guy in the National League is Sixto Sanchez. We got a chance to see him at the end of the season as well as in the playoff. And you can see the potential that drips from him when he takes the mound. So these two guys are, in my opinion, the guys to watch in the American League and National.
Yeah, I don't see how you can pick against Arozarena. I mean, the guy was fantastic. I can't even believe he's a rookie after being the best player in the playoffs last year. Even better than Seager, I guess. Arozarena was unstoppable. I was over in the Cardinals camp about a week ago, and the owner even asked me, how does Arozarena look? I mean, they're going to be regretting this trade forever. I mean, nobody noticed it when it occurred, but I mean, the guy looks like one of the top players in the game if he continues anything like what we saw, certainly in the World Series and the whole playoffs. So to me, Arozarena, the favorite. Bobby Witt Jr., after he gets called up, I think he's going to be a superstar. But I'd rather pick a guy who's already starting out with the team. So I'm going with Arozarena. National League, Key Brian Hayes is a fantastic player with the Pirates. Without him, I'm not sure what the Pirates have. With him, they have one fantastic player. People may not have noticed because it was in Pittsburgh, but if you check out his stats from last year, they give you an idea how good this kid is. And he's also fantastic defensively. I mean, he's like, I don't want to say Arenado yet, but he's in that category. Chapman, Arenado, he's going to be one of the top third basemen in baseball and a fantastic hitter. And, I saw his dad, Charlie Hayes, a wonderful guy. And Key Brian is a very nice young man, but that's my pick in the National League.
So earlier we talked about teams that we could see, you know, stepping up and having a better season than they did last year and teams that could take a step back. Let's dial it in here, and I want your division winner picks. So who do you guys think can outlast the rest of their divisions? Let's start off in the American League and the National League Central. Who do you guys got?
Central, I'm going to go, I like the Brewers. We talked about that. I think they're a nice all-around team. They have the two good starters at the front. They got the great bullpen, and you know, to me, the White Sox, I think they probably surpassed the Twins with what they did in the offseason. Hendricks gives them a great stopper, and Lance Lynn really nicely rounds out that rotation. So I'm going to stick in that Chicago-Milwaukee corridor and go White Sox and the Brewers in the Central.
I'm going to go National League. I'm going to go Brewers as well in the American League Central. Man, I really like the Twins, but it's tough for me to pick against the White Sox. I mean, they got a lot going for them. And plus, I picked Giolito to win a Cy Young. And if he wins a Cy Young, I would assume they win the division. So we're going to go White Sox as well.
All right. We're going to head over to the East Coast now. We're going to go AL and NL East. Who are your picks? Tony, we'll start with you.
AL, I got to go with the Yankees, assuming they can stay healthy, because the last 2 years has been tough on the health department, on the trainers and staff for the Yankees. But they still, on paper, when healthy, have the best squad in the American League East. So I'll take the Yankees there. And the National League East, honestly, the Braves are the team to beat, but I won't be surprised if this goes any amount of ways, because there are a lot of talented teams in the National League East. But I won't be disrespectful. The Braves dang near took out the Dodgers last year in the playoffs, and they're going to be healthier this year. I thought it was so important to re-sign Marcell Ozuna. They were able to do that. I think the Braves win the National League East.
Yeah, I'm with you with the Braves. You know, I'll stick with the Yankees. I like what the Jays did, but the Yankees are the fair favorite. They've already started with two injuries, Britton and Justin Wilson in the bullpen, so a little worrisome to begin with, and you're right, that's the question with the Yankees. Can they stay healthy? Can Kluber stay healthy? Can Judge? Can Stanton? You know, they've got a lot of guys who've had some injury question. They got an extremely talented, deep team, but that is their question. If not, I say the Jays have a shot to take them, but I got to go New York and Atlanta there.
Yeah, I was actually just going to follow up real quick. I know we're a little pressed for time, but if there was anybody in the AL East who can challenge the Yankees, I was curious to get your guys' opinion whether or not you think it would be the Rays or the Jays. The Rays just know how to win games flat out. You know, they just do it as well or better than everybody else in baseball. But it wouldn't shock me to see the Jays come on as that team that, you know, kind of takes the leap while everybody's still young. And, you know, you expect them maybe to kind of, you know, play like right around 500 baseball. But, you know, hopefully like Vlad Jr. and Biggio and Bichette, you know, make those leaps forward that everybody's expecting them to. So I'm curious to know if you guys think that the Blue Jays can maybe give the Yanks a run for their money at all? Or do you think the Yankees are just too good?
If the Yankees aren't healthy, the Blue Jays can definitely give them a run for their money. I think that team is poised to just get better. I mean, they got into the playoffs last year, and what that does for the young guys is it gives them a taste. It gives them that taste. It gives them that motivation. You see Guerrero comes in. He's lost a bunch of weight. He's looking good. I think all those guys take that next step forward. And when you add a guy who knows how to win like George Springer into that mix, I think the confidence level is extremely high. So I think this division will be close. I think the Blue Jays will keep it close. But if the Yankees are healthy, I still think they have the better team. If not, the Blue Jays can certainly still. I think the Rays have lost too much over time. Like, you lose the type of players they've lost over the last couple of years. And listen, they've proved me wrong before. I have a hard time seeing them have a repeat success this season like they did last season.
Yeah, I'm with Tony. I think the Jays would be the bigger threat at this point. Again, I'm never right about the Rays, so don't take that to the bank. But Yankees, if they're healthy, the Yankees should win that division.
And then we're going to go out to the West Coast, guys, AL and NL West. Probably the most interesting division out in the NL West with the Dodgers and the Padres. Two of the most stacked teams in all of baseball. I'm not going to fault either one of you for whatever direction you choose to go, but I'm definitely curious to know what you guys are thinking.
Yeah, I like the Dodgers. Yeah, I mean, how do you not like the Dodgers? They're the best team on paper in baseball. The Padres, fantastic offseason. Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, all they did, they are dramatically improved. But, you know, you really can't pick against the Dodgers at this point. And I'm going to go a little upset here. As I referenced earlier, I kind of like the A's still. They are the Rays of the West Coast. And for some reason, I'm more convinced by them with the Minaya and Puck, Lizardo, and again with Chapman and Olson and Murphy. I think that team could surprise some folks and win that division.
Yeah, I think National League, listen, I'm probably going to get killed for this, but I think the Dodgers probably win the division. they are well suited to win this division. And they got better, believe it or not, over last season. You add Bauer, you technically add David Price, right? Because he was out all of last season. He's not even in your rotation. He's in your bullpen. So, and he's done it before. So it's not as though he's never pitched out of the bullpen and will be kind of experimenting. Like, he knows how to do it. So, listen, I think the Dodgers win the division. In the American League, listen, I'm going for the wild card. I'm taking the Angels. I want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. So that's part of the reason why I'm doing it. Plus, Ohtani's healthy, man. And I think with the bat, he hit like dang near 600 the whole spring. Pitching has come, it's coming along still, although he looked pretty good against the Padres in his start against them. I just think this is the time. If there was ever a time for the Angels to win the American League West, now is the time. The Astros aren't the juggernaut they were. I think the A's will still be good, but they're not as tough as they were last season, I don't believe. There's an opening here, and I'm going to step out on the ledge, and I'm going to take the Angels in the American League West.
All right, guys, let's see how good we really are here. We're going to make our predictions now. I'll write it down. I'll put it in an envelope, and I won't open it up until October. Who are the two teams that are going to meet in the World Series this year?
Well, I'm the chalk player. I got to go Dodgers over Yankees. We've seen this act before, Dodgers and Yankees. You know, I basically pick the Dodgers every year, and I was mad at them for about 30 straight years, and they finally rewarded me last year. I can't really go away from them now that they're obviously the best team. So, you know, if there's a, you know, I'm not going to pick a complete dark horse. If these two teams don't pan out, obviously, from what I've said before, I like the Braves and I like the White Sox, but got to go Dodgers over Yankees.
I'm gonna redeem myself here, and I'm gonna take a rematch of the 1998 World Series, Padres Yankees in the World Series. Listen, I think Padres are in for a tough battle, right? Because the Dodgers very likely could win this division, and then you're stuck with a one game playoff, and the teams that I am assuming will be in there will not be easy outs. Like, you're talking about either a Cardinals or Brewers or Braves or a Philly, whoever it is coming out of these. I think it'll be the Braves, but it'll be a tough matchup. So, but I also know that it is really tough to repeat. It's really tough to get back to a World Series after getting there a year before. Just look at the history. There's only been a couple teams that have ever been able to accomplish it. The Yankees were one of them. So I think, plus I need to redeem myself, as I said, a little bit. I'm going to take the Padres and Yankees for a repeat of the 98 World Series.
All right, so we have the picks. We have the teams. The table is set. Again, we're 2 days away from opening day here, and there's no better way to do it than get yourself ready with an episode of Big Time Baseball. So for Tony Gwynn Jr. and John Heyman, I'm Dylan Burns saying thank you for tuning in, but don't go anywhere. Coming up, we're going to have John Heyman's Inside Corner. I'm going to take a step back to my producer role. Tony's going to put the host cap on, and we're going to get the ball rolling. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Big Time Baseball.
All right, John, let's get into your insider today. Obviously, some big shortstop free agents are going to be available here come at the end of this season. And I guess the question is, which teams will be in play for these big-name free agent shortstops?
Well, that is a big question. You know, the teams that lose a big shortstop certainly will be. The other outside teams, I think, are going to look at it. The Giants are my number one team to really look at a big shortstop. They're going to be ready to spend. They're going to have a lot of money coming off the books. You know, they've got Posey, potentially Crawford, and several others, you know, tens of millions of dollars. So I think the Giants are a team that's going to look at these shortstops. The Rangers are a team that's rumored to be interested in these shortstops, particularly Story or Seager. I think they're probably going to look at the offensive shortstops. Their offense was not too good last year. The Yankees are rumored. It's possible. They certainly could get in there on one of these shortstops. I don't think it's going to be Lindor. If it's going to be one of them, it'd probably be Story or Seager again. They like Correa too, so we'll see. And some dark horse teams that could start to spend and try to win include the Detroit Tigers and Seattle Mariners. It's time for the Seattle Mariners to start to try to win, but Detroit's been a team that's been interested in winning, and they have some really good young pitching. they may not be far from winning like they did. They went through the free agent market a couple decades ago, or however long that was, a long time ago, signing Pudge and Maglio, and set themselves up for a nice few seasons there. And I could see them being in the mix for these guys. But certainly a lot of these shortstops are going to be out there, and we can go over them one by one right now and see what situation they are in right now in terms of their extensions.
Yeah, Detroit certainly gets a pass. They've been relevant at least in the last 10 years, where Seattle, they need to do something. So we're looking forward to seeing them spend some cash. Finally, let's talk about some of these teams that have players that they're trying to keep. We'll start with the Nats. They got Soto, who's not a free agent, but certainly you would think they want to get ahead of this before the numbers get too high. And, of course, Scherzer, who can be a free agent at the end of the year. What are you hearing on their front?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's deadlines on the Nats guys. They signed Strasburg in the middle of a season to a 7-year extension several years ago. I think it was 7 or 8 years ago now. It doesn't seem like it. But so we really don't have an opening day deadline for them. But Soto will not be signed by opening day. There's nothing going on there right now. Obviously, that's going to be a big, big number. We saw that Tatis got $340 million. So you've got a number to shoot at there, but there's not anything happening at that point in that front from what I know. Scherzer, a free agent after the year. They obviously got him at $210 million, 7 years, and that's worked out fantastically. They'd like to retain him, but again, nothing going to happen by opening day with Scherzer either. The other guy is Trey Turner that they've been trying on. They tried last spring, and they're trying again now. I'm not sure which way that's going to go, but we're running out of time here, with 2 days to go before the season begins. And, you know, he's got 2 years to go before free agency, though, so the urgency may not be there. And we have just not seen a lot of extensions. Obviously, we had the Tatis for $340 million. We had the Dobnak for $9.5 million. And we had one in between for we had Lance McCullers Jr., who got $85 million. But I think the environment's just tough right now to have these extensions happen. The union and MLB are having a tough time. So Turner is still a possibility, though, whereas Soto and Scherzer, not at the moment.
And now you mentioned it being tough for teams and players to come to an agreement in terms of these contracts. One that comes to mind, Anthony Rizzo pretty much put the kibosh on any talks yesterday. Chris Bryant, doesn't seem like there's any word going on there. What are you hearing on their front?
Yeah, Chris Bryant, there's no discussion. Same with Baez, no discussion. Cubs aren't getting that done. And Rizzo made it clear he's not going to take their deal. Ken Rosenthal and The Athletic reported he'd been offered 5 for $70 million extension. That's a management offer. Rizzo, from what I understand, was looking for 9 figures, $100 million plus. So that's a big enough gap that Rizzo could say it's not going to happen right now. And, you know, maybe it'll happen at some point before he becomes a free agent. So it's just hard for me to see him going elsewhere. To me, he's a Cub and will always be a Cub. So I think they'll figure it out whether they have to wait for free agency or not. I'm not sure. But, you know, obviously Rizzo made it clear it's not happening now.
All right, lastly, there are some free agents out there available. What are you hearing in terms of the best players still available?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're hearing nothing on Puig. There have been some early rumors, but, you know, he's got a civil suit against him, and I think teams are discouraged. He's got that reputation of being a difficult character anyway, and so that's been a tough one. Addison Russell, I mean, obviously he had that domestic abuse issue with the Cubs. Supposedly after that did everything right and tried to stay on the state straight and narrow and has done that. But again, there has not been much movement there. And Jeremy Jeffress had a deal with the Nats, a minor league deal, and he was released after there was a rumor of something. We don't want to talk up too much about rumors, but there's nothing proven. And MLB has said that he can go ahead and sign with anybody now. So there's really, nothing. Again, as I said, proven against him, and it's unfortunate. He's a free agent, but, you know, with his drug past, I think teams are a little bit leery. Had a big season with the Cubs last year out of their bullpen, and if this rumor is not true, it's a little bit of a shame it's for him not to have a job, but because he certainly has the ability to continue to pitch. Now, certainly if he did something wrong, I get it, but in his case, we don't know anything really that happened, but the Nats did release him.
Yeah, if that is not true, that is a shame. Shame on whoever put that information out there, because I'm sure there could be a lawsuit followed if this turns out not to be true. All right, that's going to wrap it up.
One more thing, Tony. Let's go over the Mets two people.
Of course. You're talking about Lindor, right?
Yeah.
All right, John, let's talk about the Mets. You know, we know Dylan is probably most excited about this news right here. So let's talk about the Mets and what are you hearing on their guys, particularly Francisco Lindor?
Well, first, Conforto, nothing going to happen there before the season starts. So he likely will become a free agent. We haven't heard of a deadline, but there's nothing going on there. Lindor is the big one. We know now that the Mets have offered 10 years, $325 million. He was looking for more than that. You know, he's got 2 days to go. He's got his own deadline of opening day. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think when you're hearing this podcast, we may have the answer to this, but not too many people have left 320. In fact, nobody has left $325 million on the table. You know, if he goes through the season and it goes into free agency, I mean, there's a good chance he'll get that or maybe even slightly more. But is he going to get a lot more in free agency? I don't know. Seems like a big risk to me to not take that $325 and play out the season. But, hey, you know, it's his choice. He just got to the Mets. You know, maybe he'd prefer to be elsewhere. Who knows? So I'm not going to make a prediction there, but $325 for 10 years, that's a pretty good offer. So I don't think anyone will be surprised if he ultimately accepts it or maybe massages it up to a few more million dollars maybe for him, but in that ballpark.
There aren't very many markets that I think are suited for a guy. I mean, all the markets are suited for Francisco Lindor, but does it fit him the way New York does? And wow. That's a big bag of money right there. So hopefully that works itself out. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Big Time Baseball. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Tony Gwynn Jr. and he's at John Heyman. And now you can follow this podcast at RDC_Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Until next time. John Heyman, for John Heyman and Tony Gwynn Jr., we'll see you. Take care.